little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So we had a session, a workshop, a few weeks ago, in which we invited some GP trainees, so some registrars and some learners, to come and join us. And we were experimenting a little bit with how best to go about doing the red flag questioning and how best to do the safety netting. So we had a good old bash with that. So we're going to maybe start off with something of a template. Damson, you had some experiences of this as to how it ran and how it played out. And I've modified it a little bit since that session. Perhaps you could maybe share some thoughts on how that worked out.
Yeah, so I think when we were practicing red flags and safety netting, it was really a good chance to think about the very specific language you use. And I think everybody at the tutorial was able to reflect on the impact that specific wordings actually had and the benefits of actually taking time to craft very specific questions and specific safety nets and how they could improve both the efficiency and the safety of the consultation. And I think that the other thing that trainees probably feel is that it's an area of the consultation they maybe slightly take for granted, and they rely on their clinical knowledge, which is usually quite solid, and they just sort of slot it in. But they don't take that much time to think how it can actually help the overall consultation run well. So it was very useful to have a few hours to really think about that.
We had a ponder, and some of the learners had a play around with how they might formulate their questions and how they might, when they're going through the red flag questioning section, actually highlight to the patient these symptoms could be quite important. It might be worthwhile paying particular attention to these symptoms so that perhaps you might remember them later. Mm-hmm. And I had a kind of thought about this. I've been working as a GP in this particular practice now for 21 years. And the way that we do this evolves and changes, but I guess it hasn't changed very much over that period of time until I've really started to think about what is the best way of trying to make sure that that gets cemented in people's minds. So I've had a bit of a play with this. So I've had a bash. So just listen to this and see what you make of this. I need to ask you some key questions. These key questions might help me to figure out what's going on. But it might help both of us if you're able to remember these key symptoms afterwards. So, for example, if we played that through looking at the possibility that somebody might be developing symptoms of bowel cancer. So the red flag questions that could go with that sort of scenario would be, have you noticed any persistent changes in your bowel habit? How has your weight been? And has there been any blood in your stool? So those would be examples of the red flag questions that would go with that particular scenario. Thinking back to the session that we had with the registrars, could you perhaps pass a comment, if you wouldn't mind, Tamsin, on how does that compare with what we did on the day?
Yeah, I think that brings together a few of the things we were trying to practice on the day, which was specifically how to avoid repeating yourself come the end of the consultation during the safety net. I think patients are on the receiving end of a lot of questions for, you know, a few minutes after the opening where they will bring their problem. And during those questions, that will range from smoking, lifestyle, who's at home, what their job is. And it's hard for them to necessarily hold on to which of those are the most relevant and important. And I think pausing for a second to say, well, these questions are particularly important and it does help to try and remember, that will help save time later on, I think.
I guess we have to be quite careful that we don't want to alarm the patient mm-hmm. by suggesting that their symptoms necessarily are nasty or worrying in themselves mm-hmm. of their own right. And bearing in mind that if we find a key symptom, a red flag symptom, usually that might represent maybe at the worst a 5% chance that they've got something really nasty going on. So I've been deliberate in choosing words around this subject to try to make sure that we're not raising too much alarm whilst we're also highlighting that these are significant symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the safety safety netting and checking understanding that would go along with that scenario for the change of bowel habit could be along these sorts of lines. Do you remember any of the key symptoms or problems that I mentioned earlier? And you might retort along the lines of?
Yes, doctor. You mentioned persistent changes in my bowels or any blood in my stools.
Yes, that's right. And also weight loss without effort too. But please watch out for these key symptoms. We need to see you again sharpish if any of these happen. So bearing in mind that if somebody's got cancer, if they have some of these key symptoms, we're only really talking about a smallest risk. And we quite often will have to read how the patient reacts to what we say to them and then try and contextualize and say, well, yes, they can represent a risk, but it's a smallish risk. Mm-hmm. And we would make a decision to refer somebody on the two-week wait rule on the basis that they could have something like bowel cancer, and probably only one in 20 of them will actually end up having cancer. So we have to kind of give them a little bit of a reality check to go along with that. We also played around with some words related to something that Roger Neighbour had described rather well in his books, and this was something that Prem was talking about with us, which is, if I'm right, your symptoms could represent this. If I'm wrong, then these are the things that you need to watch out for. So it kind of paints a picture that a clinician is not infallible, and it's certainly conceivable and frequently happens that a doctor and a clinician is wrong, so that it makes you look less stupid when you are wrong if you've already said to the patient, there's a reasonable chance that I might be wrong, therefore these are the things that you need to watch out for. So if I'm wrong, watch out for these things. So in some of the scenarios that we're going to be describing over the course of the next couple of hours, then we're going to use that backdrop, if you like, to be able to describe these symptoms.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.